today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell helps us rediscover the true meaning of Christmas.
When you go wherever you go shopping, when you go to the mall and someone says to you, Happy Holidays, put a big smile on your face, pull out a gospel track and say, Merry Christmas. Let me give you something that'll tell you about Jesus Christ and what Christmas is really all about. If Jesus is your Lord, be like the shepherds who made known abroad everywhere they went. They said, you will not believe what we've seen or who we've met. His name is Jesus. And if you are saved, tell somebody about Jesus Christ this week.
The story of Christmas is so often lost in the busyness of the holiday season. In our series, The True Meaning of Christmas, Pastor Chappell will take us back to the place where Christ was born and remind us of why He came and what His birth means for us today. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Although Jesus is the reason for the season, He is often overlooked and hardly mentioned in conversations. Yet the entire reason for Christmas is the love of God. In today's series, we will discover how to wade through worldly holiday diversions and find Christ in Christmas. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called The Christmas Story.
The Bible says in verse 11, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, but notice the next phrase, which is Christ the Lord. So Jesus is the Savior, but Jesus, secondly, is the Christ. He is referred to as the Savior, the Deliverer. He is referred to as the Christ. The word Christ is a Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah or Anointed One. Jesus is referred to as the Promised One of Israel, the Anointed One, the one that Israel had looked to for their deliverance, the Messiah, the Son of God. Acts 2 and 36 says, Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. God the Father has deemed, has stated that His Son is Lord. His Son is Christ, the Anointed One. And so I want you to recognize Jesus, according to the Scriptures, is the Savior. According to the Scriptures, is the Christ. Now notice this word Christ, and notice that He is announced as such, first of all, by the angels. He is announced as Christ by the angels. Verse 9 says, And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Now, the angels in Scripture are ministering spirits or the messengers of God. Many times, special ministry is given by the angels. Often, special messages are given by the angels. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 6 says, And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, And let all the angels of God worship Him. Hebrews 1 and 14 says, Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So the angels were ministering spirits. They were messengers of God. But there seems to be realms and ranks of these angels. We have learned that Gabriel was an angel uniquely used of God to come to Mary, to come to the father of John the Baptist, Zacharias. We have heard of Michael, the other named angel in the Bible. But this angel is unique that we're reading about in these verses today. It is referred to, in verse number 9, he is referred to as the angel of the Lord. On very special occasions in the Bible, the angel of the Lord will make an appearance. The angel of the Lord would give a special visible appearance. And I believe that often these can be referred to as a Christophany or the appearance of the pre-incarnate Lord Himself. Remember, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Remember that He is the Word, the eternal Word. And in the Old Testament, we see these Christophanies on numerous occasions. For example, in Joshua chapter 5 and verse 15, the Bible says, And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. And so it was that Jesus Christ, in the pre-incarnate stage, referring to Himself here as the captain of the Lord's host, made appearance to Joshua. So it is in this moment in Luke chapter 2 that while Jesus Christ is in the manger, He, as the all-knowing, all-present God, he who is omnipresent, is not only in Bethlehem's manger, but is also declaring his presence as the angel of the Lord with the heavenly host accompanying him to these shepherds. Now we see in the scriptures that Gabriel came to Mary, but it was the angel of the Lord that came to Joseph and that came to the shepherds. Notice in Matthew 1:20 it says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." And so the angel of the Lord has the brightness of the glory of God upon him and is coming to announce the wonderful news that will divide human history and the news that will bring salvation to all. Jesus is Christ, and it is announced by the angels and specifically by the angel of the Lord. But notice also this Christ is adored by the heavenly hosts. Adored by the heavenly hosts. Now pick it up with me in verse 13. The Bible says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Here we see and here we hear from the multitude of the heavenly host. This was one of the greatest events in human history. Perhaps tens of thousands of angels are now praising God and glorifying God as the Son of God has been born in Bethlehem. And they cry out, "Glory to God in the highest," giving God glory for what he is now providing. The word glory is the word doxa, which means majesty to God, giving majesty and glory to God for the great thing that he had done on behalf of mankind. The Bible says in Hebrews 1 and verse 6, "And let all the angels of God worship him." And that's what they're doing. They're worshiping God. They're singing praise to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they say in verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." You see, the angels understood that peace with God was possible when we were reconciled to God. And the way of reconciliation has now been forever provided for the Jew and for the Gentile in the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, peace could be known. It does not matter then what's happening in your life. It does not matter where you live or what's going on. What matters is, do you know the Lord? Do you know the Lord? If you do, then there is peace available for you. Look in your notes at Colossians 1:19. Colossians 1:19 says, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell," speaking of Jesus, "and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." We have seen this past week from California to Connecticut. The devil attempts to rob peace, and the devil is a destroyer, and he is a thief, just like Jesus said. But the angels cry aloud and bring glory to God, and they say, peace can still be attained by men who find reconciliation through this one who has come, who find peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace on earth towards all men was their message in verse 14. And as they gave this cry, they said, "On earth peace, goodwill toward men." They knew that that would be available through the person and the ministry and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so who is Jesus? Jesus is the Savior of the world. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Who is Jesus? He is the Christ, the Anointed One, the Promised One, the one whom the angels tell us will bring peace to all who find reconciliation through him with God, the Heavenly Father. He is the Savior. He is the Christ. But notice what else it says in verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ." And what do the last two words say? Say it again. The Lord. He is Savior. He is Christ. He is the Lord. The word here is kurios. It means a title of honor. It means master, one to whom we respect, to whom we give reverence, and to whom we give deference. This is a title given to God, given to the Messiah. He is Lord. And I want to say today, he is Lord whether he is recognized as Lord in your life or not, whether your friends see him as Lord or not, whether he is worshiped as Lord or not, Jesus is Lord. I want you to realize many today hate that message and they hate the Christmas message. One day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we believe His Lordship for many reasons. We believe His Lordship because of fulfilled Bible prophecy. Over 350 prophecies in the Old Testament predicted the first coming of Jesus Christ, the way He would come, how He would come, when He would come, prophesied. The first promise concerning the coming of Christ was given all the way back in the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, where God said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. It is prophesied that the seed of the woman, that seed could only come of the Holy Ghost, for the woman does not produce seed. The seed of the woman would bruise the head of Satan. Oh, Satan bruised the heel of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. But when Jesus rose up on the third day, He bruised the head of Satan. It was prophesied in the book of Genesis that Jesus Christ would be Lord. It was prophesied that He would come from the tribe of Judah. Genesis 49 and verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh or Jesus come, and unto him shall be the gatherings of the people be. It was prophesied that he would be born of the virgin. It was prophesied that he would be of the house of David. You see, we believe Jesus is Lord because of the fulfillment of prophecy concerning Jesus Christ coming as King and coming as Lord. We believe that Jesus is Lord because of recorded history. The history of even this book of Luke records for us in great exacting detail. And while the atheists will worship their own versions of history and their own classic works of literature, they tend to deny completely the Bible, even as a book of history. Oh, the Bible is much more than that. It is an inspired, infallible record of God. But the Bible is a great book of history as well. And I remind you of that this morning. It has been scrutinized. It has been scrutinized, even this book of Luke, by the so-called higher critics, by the students of history and by the students of ancient literature. One of the men who early on studied this book of Luke from a historical standpoint was a man named Sir William Ramsay. He did one of the most extensive studies of Acts and Luke that was ever undertaken. He studied it against various different studies and books of the day and texts that had been archaeologically found and discovered from the first century. And Ramsay said, Luke is a historian of the first rank. Not merely are his statements of fact trustworthy, he is possessed of the true historic sense. In short, this author should be placed along with the very greatest of historians. You see, the book we're reading this morning gives us names. It gives us specific places. It gives us specific accounts of history. And it helps us to understand how God became man and dwelt among us. And the miracles that he did and the works that he accomplished are all recorded here in the book of Luke. It is recorded in this book that God came to this earth by way of the virgin birth, and that God became flesh and dwelt among us. That these two natures came together, the dual nature, the God-man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Henry Morris wrote concerning this fact, the only way in which these two conflicting requirements could be met was by a miraculous conception and virgin birth, the requirements of deity and humanity. His human experience must begin, as for all men, with conception, but the embryonic form so generated could have no genetic connection with either mother or father, both of whose heredities were contaminated both by biological defects and inherent sin. The promised seed of the woman could only come by special creation. The seed is always of the man under normal conditions. Yet he must also be of the seed of David and therefore begin his human life through a mother descended from David's line. You see, the fact is that there is a great amount of fulfilled prophecy pointing to Jesus as Lord. There is a great recorded history in Gospel of Luke and in the other Gospels pointing to Jesus as Lord. But may I give you thirdly, the testimony of the Scriptures remind us that Jesus is Lord. Psalm 89 and verse 3, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Romans chapter 1 and verse 3, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The atheists can mock, the atheists can support their cause, they can place their billboards, but mark it down, my friend, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. His tomb is empty today. He is alive at the right hand of God, and we worship Him as Savior, and we worship Him as Christ, and we worship Him as our Lord this morning. C.S. Lewis said of Jesus, I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that some say about him. Some say I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sorts of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. And every man today must make the choice. Jesus Christ is either the Son of God, God in the flesh, come down to provide salvation for us, or the greatest imposter that ever lived. And I believe today that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the old rugged cross for my sin. He shed the blood that is still speaking out forgiveness today. He rose again on the third day. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and we ought to worship him today, not as a religious figurine. We ought to worship him today, not as the myth that some say he is, but as he is in truth the Son of God, the Savior of the world. He is Christ. He is Savior. He is Lord. Now, if he's your Savior and if he's your Lord, what should our response be to him? What should one's response be to this Savior, Christ, Lord? Well, let's look back at the shepherds as we close, and let's learn from these common men. I want you to see in verse 15, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us." The first response to the Lord is that we should seek the Lord. The shepherds, upon hearing the news and hearing the choirs pronounce, hearing thousands of angelic hosts pronouncing that the Son of the Highest was born, they immediately sought the Lord. Some commentator said this was the first Christmas rush. I mean, they wanted to see the Lord, and they said, let us make haste and let us get to Bethlehem. Psalm 105 says, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And my friend, if you believe that Jesus is Savior and Lord, then I want to encourage you this month, seek his face, come before him. There ought to be some Christians who believe that he is your Savior, Christ, and Lord, who are rushing to his feet and rushing to his house and rushing to his word and saying, I want to know him more. I want to get closer to him. I want to seek his face. And here we see the shepherds were seeking the Lord. Notice secondly, they were adoring the Lord. They were adoring the Lord. Look at that in verse 15. It says they said, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. I can't really even ponder what they must have felt that morning. It's hard to comprehend as they left the filthy fields of the Bethlehem's surroundings and came into the presence of the Savior Christ and King, the Lord Jesus. And yet the Bible says they saw him there. Verse 19 says that Mary adored him as well. It says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds adoring him, Mary adoring him, keeping these things, pondering them, bringing it all together in her mind, meditating on it. Let me tell you something. Meditation is not something that is real unique with the Eastern religions or the New Age religions. The fact of the matter is what counts is not whether you meditate. What counts is what or who are you meditating upon. And what we see here is that Mary was meditating as she saw the Savior, the Christ, the Lord. She was meditating. She was getting all of her thoughts together in her mind and in her heart, and the shepherds were there. And I want to challenge you this week and next, that you would carve out some time on your calendar and get alone with God and consider who Jesus is, and consider that if he is the Son of God and that he came down and died for you, consider what love is this, consider what condescension is this, consider the majesty of it, and ponder it all in your heart and let it stir your heart once again. Some of you that have been saved 10 or 15 or 20 years who can get a little crusty and a little cranky and sometimes not as grateful as we ought to be, and sometimes we just kind of take it all for granted. Listen, we need to come back to the manger and adore Him this month. And let it be real in our heart like it was when you first got saved. Amen. Seek Him and adore Him. Think of Mary looking at her little child, deity wrapped in humanity. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Pondering this in her heart, the miracle of miracles. And God had given to her the privilege of being a part of the wonderful miracle that Christmas. Listen, I believe from the shepherds we can learn to seek the Lord, to adore the Lord. Thirdly, if you believe He's your Lord, you ought to witness for the Lord. We ought to witness about the Lord. Oh, listen, there'll be a lot of people today talking about their own football game, their football team, who's going to win this game, who's going to win that game, and a lot of people talking about work, a lot of people talking about this or that. Where are the people who talk about the Lord? Verse 17, the Bible says these words, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Listen, when you meet Jesus as Savior, Christ, and Lord, it changes you forever. I mean, there's stuff you might talk about. There's things you might want to attain in life. But there's nothing as important as knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Psalm 66 and verse 16, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul. Andrew, the Bible says in the Gospels, found his brother Simon, and he said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And when you find the Christ, you're going to want to tell your brother about Him. Amen. You're going to want to tell your father about Him. Amen. You'll want somebody else to know Jesus Christ. Amen. As Savior. Have you ever led someone to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Are you a soul winner? Every day of the world, there's tracts in our lobby there with the gospel printed clearly. You know, this week, some of you will probably wind up getting to a store. A lot of you men have been putting that off, I know. We live in an upside-down world, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find you go to these stores, and a lot of times after you make your purchase, they'll say, Happy Holidays. Have a nice holiday. I'd like to encourage you who say that Jesus is your Lord to get some of those gospel tracts out of the back. Put them in your pocket. When you go to Walmart, when you go wherever you go shopping, when you go to the mall and someone says to you, Happy Holidays, put a big smile on your face, pull out a gospel tract and say, Merry Christmas. Let me give you something that'll tell you about Jesus Christ and what Christmas is really all about. Don't let your feeling of how people perceive you, don't let that be your Lord. Don't be a self-made Lord. If Jesus is your Lord, be like the shepherds who made known abroad everywhere they went. They said, you will not believe what we've seen or who we've met. His name is Jesus. He is Christ. He is Savior. He is Lord. We saw Him with our own eyes. And if you are saved, tell somebody about Jesus Christ this week. Let them know what Jesus means to you. The Bible says in Acts 1:8, we shall be witnesses. Seek the Lord. Adore the Lord. Witness for the Lord. Let me say fourthly, praise the Lord. Amen. Notice what it says in verse number 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Do you see that in verse 20? Let's read that together, shall we? Ready to begin. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Praise the Lord. You ever meet some Christians and you look at them and say, hey, how you doing? Fine. Well, how's everything going? Okay. Well, are you saved? Yeah. You ought to tell your face about it. You ever meet somebody like that? Hey, folks, if He's your Savior, Christ, and Lord, you got something to praise about. There's something to praise God. The psalmist said, in God will I praise His word. In God have I put my trust. Psalm 57, 7. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. I mean, those shepherds, when they left that site, they were glorifying and praising God for all that He had done and thankful to God for the great things that they had seen.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. As a companion to today's series, we are offering a book from Dr. Chappell entitled, Christmas is a Gift, Unwrapping the Significance of the Season. Through this inspirational book, you can experience God's presence, know His peace, and live with His continual joy. Discover the difference the gift of Christmas can make in your life all year long. It's yours when you make a donation to this broadcast ministry. Call us at 1-800-68-TODAY. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for nearly 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.